Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen tonight. Got your Bible with me tonight? Turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 42. Psalms, chapter 42 tonight. I've had this on my mind and my heart. A very, very familiar portion of Scripture. In the book of Psalms, chapter 42, the Bible said, "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Question mark. "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joys and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted?" That means murmuring. That means troubled in me. "Hope thou in God." I preached on that not too long ago. "For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." David writing here in Psalm chapter 42, and he's talking about being cast down. He's talking about his soul being disquieted in him. And David actually is in a place right here where he's running away from the sanctuary of God, and Saul and Absalom. And it's either with Saul or Absalom, either one. David was got away from Jerusalem. And David was out, no doubt, in the wilderness. And that heart David seen was a deer. That's what it was. And no doubt David was sitting there looking at that deer running, and it stopped. And you've seen an animal run and play and it'll stop, and it sides, it's breathing, and it's wanting something to drink. And no doubt that God stirred David's heart and mind to write this. He said, "As that heart panteth after that water, needs that water to satisfy its need." He said, "So my soul needs you, Lord. So I thirsteth after God." He said, "I'm so troubled. I'm so cast down." He'd been away from the sanctuary. That's the way a lot of our folks feel. It's been since March 15th, dear people, since we've gathered together as a body and seen one another. And that's the way I feel. I want to get back together. But David here is going through a time. And if you read about a man in the Bible who went through ups and downs in his life, who his emotions went up and down, it was definitely King David. And folks, in this life that we live in, and especially right now, with all the uncertainty that we see all around us, the financial problems that's around us, this virus that's affected our world. We got a worldwide pandemic. Folks are in. They don't know if they're going to have a job. Many that are listening here don't know how it's going to work out for them financially. And the devil is real good about taking our emotions and using our emotions against us. And God's all wired us up differently. And some people, they're wired up more emotional than other people. But listen, God has gave us that, and it's a gift to us. But there's times in our life, folks, that everybody goes through a time that they get down in the dumps. They get depressed. They get anxious. They get worried. And you hear the old church cliches all the time. "We'll just take it to the Lord." And that sounds good, and that's what we should do. Or someone is embarrassed or feels like there's some kind of stigma if they struggle with depression, or if they struggle with anxiety, or they're just stressed out to the point they feel like their insides are running away and just feel like this world's getting away from them, and they feel like in all this, where's God? And somebody will say, "Well, go try to pray." Have you ever go try to pray and you just can't pray? You're so down, you're so depressed, you're so troubled in your soul that you just feel like God is a million miles away from you and you can't reach God. Many people all through the Scriptures went through these things. Now, there's some out there that's hyper-spiritual to say, "Well, if you're saved and you love God, you should never have those days like that." Well, I wish they would have told Apostle Paul that, because he sure struggled. Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:20, he said, "Arrestus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." Sick. Folks, we live in a fallen world, and we're going to go through struggles, and we're going to go through trials. And there's many reasons why people struggle with mental health problems. There's many reasons why people struggle with anxiety. There's many reasons why people struggle with depression. Listen, one reason is it could be a physical problem. They could have suffered some sort of brain damage. That can cause issues with depression. That can cause issues with anxiety. Another reason is they could be involved in some sort of traumatic event or some kind of traumatic accident. That can bring on anxiety. That can bring on depression in someone's life. Another reason is, folks, when you go to the doctor, what do they ask you? Did your mother have high blood pressure? Did your daddy have high blood pressure? Is cancer running your family? Does heart disease run your family? Listen, these kind of things I'm talking about also can run in your family. Listen, and it's not a stigma. There's nothing wrong with it. It don't make you less of a Christian. It don't make you less saved if you struggle in these areas, because everybody at some point in time in their life, ups and downs, some more than others, struggling in this area. And folks, there's nothing wrong with it if you go to a medical doctor and they give you something to help you with that, that you need that to help you. That medication does this much. But what we put into the Word of God and what we put into our own life, that makes up the big difference. So there's nothing wrong with that. If you need that to help you, if you need that to get through in life and to help you cope with things, not one thing wrong with that. Don't you put a stigma upon that. You ever meet these people at Walmart? You meet these people at Food City? You meet them out somewhere and they're just always on top of the world. Oh, I'm just shouting the victory, preacher. I'm just doing wonderful. Listen, well, I always say pray for me because sometimes I don't. And honestly, if they'll be honest, sometimes they're not either. Folks, we go through valleys in life. We go through trials. We go through struggles. We're going to look through the scriptures tonight and look at different folks who struggled, different folks who had issues in their life, biblical people, spiritual people who went through all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he said, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Folks, listen to me. Where's all these faith healers now? Let's take them to New York City and let's let them walk through New York City. They need a lot of help up there. I seen on the news the other day, but one of these churches had a healing room and they closed their healing room down due to this virus. Well, that's ironic, ain't it? It's a healing room. Listen, folks, we're going to go through troubles in this life. We're going to go through trials. We're going to have sicknesses befall us. We're going to have issues come upon us. We live in a broken, fallen world. But thank God this ain't the end of it right here. This ain't the end of it. We're going to go to a perfect world one day with a perfect glorified body. We're not going to have to battle with depression. We're not going to have to battle with anxiety. We're not going to have to battle with cancers. We're not going to have to battle with diseases that come upon our body. We're going to a better land someday, folks. But while we're here, the Bible said in Job 14:1, man born of woman is a few days, what is it? Full, F-U-L-L, full of trouble. And certainly it is. Let's look through the scriptures tonight at different people in the Bible that had issues that brought upon depression, that brought upon anxiety, that brought upon stress in their life. Listen, where they struggled at times. And if you'll look through the scriptures, you'll find that you fit in one of these and I fit in one of these at some point in time, maybe different places. Oftentimes when I study the Bible, I'll find a character and it might fit something, a circumstance that I'm going through in my life. I'll find somebody at a certain point of their life. And I'll glean from that, and the Lord will speak to me through that, and the Lord will help me through that. That's why God gives us His Word. That's why it's the living Word. It's just not something that you read and say, well, I read that, and I know that. No, we keep going back to the well. We keep going back to it because it's so rich, and it's so deep, and it helps us in our lives. The Bible said, first one that I'm going to look at tonight is Moses. The Bible said in Numbers chapter 11, verse 10, then Moses heard the people weep throughout the families. Now, you got to think about this. About 3 million people. Think about Moses for a minute. 3 million people. Moses steps outside his tent and he hears all these people weeping throughout the families. Every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Listen, God was angry and Moses was displeased. And listen what Moses, one of the greatest men of God you read in your Bible. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? God, why are you doing this to me? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the suckling child unto the land which thou swearest unto their father? Whence, listen to what he says, whence should I have flesh to give unto all these people? He said, God, I can't meet all these people's needs. God, they're trying. God, why have you done this to me? Thy weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. He said in verse 14, I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. Now look what Moses said right here in verse 15. If thou deal thus with me, kill me. I pray thee out of hand. And if I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. Moses felt the depressing burdens from all these people all around him, and it was weighing upon him and weighing upon him, and he's crying out to God. Listen, he's crying out to God, saying, God, why have you done this to me? I can't bear all this alone. And Moses makes a prayer right here and said, Lord, just kill me. Just take me out. You say, preacher, he shouldn't have done that. Jonah done that also. Jonah got down and out. Elijah, the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, said, Lord, just kill me. I'm no better than my fathers. Just kill me. Moses got in such a depressing place because all these burdens from all these people were upon him that Moses himself got to a place where Moses said, Lord, I just want to die. All this is killing me. I can't take it no more. Lord, just take me out. And folks, there's people listening to this tonight. There's so many burdens that is pushed on them by their families. There's so many burdens that's pushed upon them by their extended family. There's so many burdens that's placed upon them by other things that just on them and on them. They didn't ask for it. It's just being put upon them. And Moses, they're like Moses right here. They're saying, Lord, I just can't take this. You ever had a day like this where you just go somewhere and you just cry out to God and just cry and say, God, I can't take this anymore. I can't deal with this anymore. They're putting all these problems on me. They're putting all these issues upon me. I don't know what to do for these people. But you know what God done in verse 16 of Numbers? You know what he done? He said, Moses, get up and go down there. I got 70 men picked out down there that's going to help you bear the burden. Thank God that God puts people in our life at the right place and at the right time to help us bear depressing burdens that get upon them. But what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Moses was a real life, flesh and blood man like me and you. And Moses got to a place in his life where he got so depressed because all the burden was upon him. There are brothers that are listening tonight. You have no help at home. You have no help with your children. You feel like everything's out of whack. You've got all these problems upon you. Listen to me. God sent somebody in your life to help you. There are sisters that's listening tonight. You got a lost husband. Your children's out of whack. Your home's out of whack. Listen, God will send somebody to you to help you when you're struggling. God knows what we need. God knows what we can take. God knows to get us to the point where we cry out to him. You know what Moses did one time? Moses one time reached down and struck the rock when he should have been speaking to the rock. Every time Moses went to God and spoke to God about things, listen to me, God helped him and get through things. Listen to me, you and I, when we get to the place when things just burden upon us and things are just on us and just weighing us down. Listen to me. It don't make you less spiritual. It don't make you less saved. If you get to the place where you get like Moses and say, God, I just can't take this anymore. And Moses cried out to the Lord. But Moses got to the place where he was feeling the depressing burdens of all this pressure and all this weight that's upon him. You know something else that can bring to a place where you just feel like you messed up, you just feel depressed, you just feel stressed out, things just ain't working out for you. Listen to me, Moses was right in the perfect will of God. Moses was doing just where God, Moses was right where God wanted him to be, right where God had led him to be, and he felt this. You may be here tonight, you may be feeling this, you might be just where God has you to be. God just might have somebody around the corner going to come and help relieve that burden upon you. There was a certain tribe in the Bible that when they packed up the tabernacle and moved, the Bible said God had specific jobs for these tribes. And one of those tribes was the sons of Korah, the sons of Kohath. And you know what the sons of Kohath did? Their specific job was to carry the Ark of God, which weighed about 400 pounds. And they would have to carry it on their shoulder through the wilderness up and down those valleys. That was their job. Some of them didn't have a job to carry much at all, just maybe some curtains. But everybody had a job. But it seemed like those one brothers, those sons of Kohath, their specific job, every time the tabernacle was to move, they was to bear that heavy load. You take four men carrying something that weighs 400 to 500 pounds, that's a lot of weight upon their shoulders moving through a hot Middle Eastern desert, up valleys and down valleys, but they was bearing the burden upon their shoulders. Listen to me, I don't know why. I don't know why some of you out here, listen to me, it seems easier for some in life. It seems like some have to carry more burdens and pack more burdens than others, but God knows, and God knows exactly what he's doing. Two things you can always remember about God, people. Two things you and I can always remember about God, no matter what we're going through, no matter what trial we face, no matter what comes our way, two things we can always know about God. God is always good, and God is always right. Two things. Now, you might not understand. You might not see no outcome. You might not see where this is going. You might feel like you've got too much on you, too much weight, but God is always good, and God is always right. And you can believe that tonight. You know something else that can make you get you to a place where you just feel so depressed, where you just feel so anxious, where you just feel like, and it just seems like you just don't get any relief. You know something, and there's a lot of people that go through this. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. God is no respecter of persons, but God is a respecter of principles. Watch this. And Cain was very wroth. Not just wroth, very wroth. That means he was mad. And his countenance fell. You ever seen anybody like that? Their face is long. Their face is drawn. It just shows upon them. You ever seen somebody, you said, boy, they look like they're living a real hard life. They look like they're really struggling. Because our countenance oftentimes, folks, will tell what's going on inside of our hearts. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Did God not know why he was mad? God knew exactly what was wrong with Cain. Why did God ask questions to get us to see inside ourselves? And why is thy countenance fallen? He said, Cain, why are you mad? And why is your face so long, Cain? What's going on with you, Cain? Why are you in this way? And listen to what God says. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou not doest well, sin, life, at the door. If you look that word for sin up, it means like a wild animal just crouched at the door ready to pounce upon him. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You know something that brings a person to the life where they just have a lot of mental anguish, a lot of mental problems, a lot of mental struggles, is they got something in their life that's not right with God. Disobedience to God. Listen to me, you can get every kind of drink. That's why we have such a drug and alcohol problem. That's why we have such a dependency upon all these drugs and all these pills. Folks, listen to me. You can't medicate sin away. You can't medicate disobedience to God away. Listen to me, you can't medicate that thing away. The only thing that would help Cain with his situation, the only thing that would help Cain's countenance, the only thing that would help Cain with his attitude, the only thing that would help Cain with his emotions was to go back and get things right with God. And God in his mercy and God in his grace said, Cain, if you do right, you'll be accepted. But if not, Cain, sin lieth at the door. Somebody said, well, I went to see my counselor and they told me I just need to take a long break. I need to go take a boat ride somewhere. One of these cruise ships, probably not a good idea right now, but I like to take a cruise ship out there. Listen to me. The problem with that is the cruise ship's going to dock and you're going to have to go back and sin's still going to be lying at the door. Folks, you can't run away from these things. It's got to be dealt with. That's the way God has set us up. And you know what Cain done? You know what Cain done? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4 that he was out in the field, and I bet he had that old countenance and that old attitude. And you know what he done? He lashed out at his brother. Lashed out at his brother. Isn't that what folks do that just eat up with sin? They'll lash out at their wife. They'll lash out at their husband. They'll lash out at their children. They'll lash out at everybody around them. And they're mad and their countenance is fallen. And it's everybody else's fault. When really, folks, all they need to do is just turn to God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All God wants us to do is just come back. And that word confess just don't mean you go back and say, well, God, I'm sorry, I messed up. No, sir. That word confession means you go back and you get in agreement with God. Lord, I am wrong and you are right. That's what God wants us to do. And until then, listen to me, we'll struggle through life. Listen to me, finding no peace, finding no joy, finding no happiness, always down in the dumps, always searching for a solution. When God says, if you'll just get it right, if you'll just do right like Abel did, you'll be accepted. We'll make things right. But if not, sin lieth at the door. You know what happened? Cain reached out. He killed his brother. And not only did he lash out at his brother, God come to him again. And you know what he did with God? He smarted off to God. He got mad with God. Listen to me. God came to him with mercy. God came to him in love and in grace and said, Cain, if you'll get it right, things will be right. But if not, sin lieth at the door. He lashed out at other people, then he lashed out at God. And God said, hey, I'm going to send you out to the land of Nod. You know what Nod means in the Bible? It means wandering. He just wandered around. You've seen those people in life, they just wander emotionally, wander from place to place, wander from relationship to relationship, wander from job to job, wander from this, wander from that. They never get settled. They never get peace. They never get any satisfaction. It may be because something in their life ain't right. And they know because God lets us know when something ain't right. And I can't help you. Listen to me. Nobody else can help you. Only God can help you. You got to go to God and say, God, help me make this right. If you go to Him with a broken and a contrite spirit, God will help you get that thing fixed up in your life and move on for the glory of God. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind, I press forward to the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. But you'll never get right. You'll never get that peace. You'll never be settled until that issue gets took care of in your life. But Cain was disobedient unto God. Moses had all these depressing burdens put upon him that just brought him down. And it's making him feel so out of whack, making him feel depressed, making him feel stressed out, making him feel anxious. Where are you at tonight? Let me tell you something else that can really mess with somebody's emotions, really mess with somebody's mental status, really get them to a bad place in a mental state. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23, and when Ahithophel, that's his name, Ahithophel, saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. This man, Ahithophel, who you read through the Bible, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard that name mentioned. The Bible said his counsel was not following. And when I first read through the Bible, you read that and you said, boy, he got his feelings hurt awful bad. Man, he got offended pretty bad to go home and hang a noose like that and to kill himself. But if you look deeper in the scriptures at Ahithophel, you find a very interesting character in Ahithophel. Ahithophel was David's right-hand man. Ahithophel was King David's right-hand counselor. And Ahithophel had a granddaughter. He had a son named Elam, and his granddaughter, that his name was Bathsheba. And you remember what David happened with Bathsheba? They had a baby together. Listen to me. David had her husband killed. David tried to cover it up. God sent Nathan the prophet down to expose that. But Bathsheba had a baby, and God took that baby. God took that baby. That's Ahithophel's great-grandson. God took him. And Ahithophel went 20 years. And no doubt Ahithophel thought, that what happened with David, he didn't get dealt with right. Listen to me, David dealt with that sin all his life. David got right with God. David was forgiven of that. But listen to me, David had to deal with that the rest of his life. But obviously something in Ahithophel's heart said, God, you didn't do right by David. I'm going to get him. To a matter of fact, Ahithophel betrayed David. Betrayed David. David wrote about it in the Psalms. Listen to me, he was betrayed by his friends, by his close associate, betrayed him, stabbed him in the back. Ahithophel went to Absalom, told Absalom what to do to really get to David. He knew David's heart. Oh, the bitterness that was in this man, Ahithophel. And Ahithophel said, listen to Absalom, you follow my counsel and you get David to a place. And Ahithophel said, I'm going to kill him. I'm the one that's going to kill him. And the Bible said God sent somebody down there and Absalom took his advice and didn't follow the advice of Ahithophel, and this crushed Ahithophel because he knew this was it. This was his last shot to reach out and really exact revenge on David because he didn't feel like God had dealt with him right. And he allowed something in his heart to develop called bitterness. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. If you're listening tonight, you've got to dig out the root of bitterness. It's the only sin that I see in the Bible that's got a root. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many, the Bible said, be defiled. Ahithophel was eat up with the root of bitterness. This thing had grew silently. That root, you can't see the roots of a tree that grow. They grow in the dark. They grow underground. You can cut the top of it off and everything looks fine, but underneath the surface, there's a root there. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. You know what's killed the church of God? You know what's killed the cause of Christ more than anything, more than drugs, more than alcohol, more than fornication? It's folks sitting in Baptist churches. It's folks sitting in churches all around that's got a root of bitterness. Somebody offended them. Somebody did them wrong somewhere along the line. And they've not let that go. They've not turned that over to God. They've not let God take care of that. And they just harbor that and hold that. And that root's in there. And they water it. And they take care of it. And they nurse it. And sometimes it springs out here. And they'll cut it off here. But that root of bitterness is there. And they can find no peace. They can find no joy. They can find no happiness. Saved by the grace of God. Love the Lord. But they're really not in the land of Canaan. They're really not living the victorious Christian life. All because they're eat up with bitterness somewhere on the inside. And they can't get any peace. They can't get any rest. And they go to and fro, to and fro. Unlike Moses, who had these depressing burdens upon him. Unlike Cain, who was in total disobedience of God. Ahithophel had a root. And he served, the Bible said he was worked in the temple area. He worked as a priest right there in the temple area. He would get up and go to the sanctuary, no doubt sing the songs, no doubt do the sacrifices, no doubt go through all the things. Nobody knew that was there with him. Nobody knew that was worshiping there in the temple. What was going on in this man's heart? But listen to me, all along the way, this man had a root of bitterness. I wonder how many preachers stand up and try to preach. Listen to me. And God may use them and they may be a blessing and a help, but they got a root of bitterness right there. And it really stifles them. It really keeps them from doing what God intended to do. I wonder how many church folk are sitting there and somebody done something to them or somebody offended them somewhere along the line, and they sit there and they've let the root of bitterness to get a hold of their heart and get a hold of their mind, and they can't find any peace and they can't find any joy. Listen to me, it's killing homes, it's killing our community, it's killing our children. Listen to me, and it just develops and it grows deep inside a person's heart and they can't get any help. It ain't because of a depressing burden pushing them down. It might not be because of no disobedience in their life. It might be because they just need to get the word of God and some prayer and get in there and say, Lord, help me dig out this root of bitterness. I don't like feeling this way. God, take this out of my heart. God, I want to feel your presence. I want to have that joy of the Lord is my strength, but I can't, Lord. What did Jesus say? He said, if you got aught against your brother, he said, don't come down here and lay your offering down here. He said, go back and make it right with your brother. Then come and lay your offering down. Listen to me, it's real important to God that we are right one with another. He said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Then what? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. God wants us to walk in the light as he is in the light, and we'll have fellowship one with another and get that old nasty root of bitterness out of us. Listen, why do you think God puts us in local churches to be around each other? Because God says, I'm going to teach you how to love. And I'm going to put somebody in your life to listen to me at that local church that's hard to love. And you're going to learn how to love them. It's easy to love people just like you. It's easy to love people that are just like us, that relate to us, that got our same interests. But it's hard to love somebody, listen to me, it's a little different, that's got an overbearing personality or may offend us with a word or may offend us with a deed somewhere. But listen, God don't want that root of bitterness to sit in our heart. And the devil uses those things, folks, against us. Maybe that's you here tonight. It's in your heart. Maybe you got some kind of disobedience in your life. Folks, you're never going to find the peace that passeth all understanding if you're disobedient to God. You can sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice. You can bring him to the altar. But listen to me, the Bible said in this book of Samuel, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. No matter what you do, God wants that obedience from us, folks. And some of you here tonight, you may be playing around with disobedience. It's like the fellow that went to the preacher. Said, preacher, I'm having struggles. I keep going back to the bottle. I keep going back to the alcohol. He said, I seem to get caught up in the web. So he goes down to the altar the first Sunday and he prays, Lord, help me in this web that I'm in. Lord, turn down this web that I'm in. He comes to the preacher the next week and he says, Lord, preacher, pray for me. I got back in the web again. Like Sunday comes, the message goes out. He gets stirred up in his heart. He goes to the altar and he prays with the preacher. And he's down there praying. He said, Lord, turn down this web in my life. Lord, turn down this web. Next week he comes to the preacher and says, preacher, I'm having struggles. I'm getting caught in the web. He goes down to the altar and he prays. And he says, Lord, tear down this web. Lord, I'm caught in this web. The preacher puts his hand on his shoulder and said, Lord, kill the spider. Kill the spider. That's what a lot of people do. They just tear down webs, but they leave the spider around. It might take a little time, but the spider will weave the web. Weave the web. The spiders, a lot of times, need to be took out in our lives. Maybe that's you, disobedient to God's word. Maybe you got to dig out the root of bitterness somewhere, like Ahithophel. Somebody did something years ago, and you're holding on to it. Hey, God's going to make everything all right. God's going to take care of things. God, you leave that with the Lord. I promise the Lord knows how to do things. He'll turn them over to the tormentors, Matthew chapter 18. He'll turn them over to the tormentors. You just leave that business to God. And you take care of your heart and your mind. Maybe it's because you've got just outside burdens. You can't help it. It's not your fault. Just all these burdens get pressed upon you. God will send somebody in your path to help you. What else is it that's got people that you may relate to? Same book, 1 Samuel chapter 27. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. Well, wait a minute, David. You said David said in his heart, you've got to watch what you say in your heart, what you say to yourself. David said in his heart, I'm not going to make it. I'm going to perish one day by the hand of Saul. It did look awful bad for David. But remember, David is the one that killed Goliath. David is the one that slew the bear. David is the one that slew the lion. David is the one that Samuel anointed with the horn of oil. David is the one that God promised was going to be the king of Israel. God gave him that promise. What are you doing, David? He's got to a place where he said in his heart, it looks awful bad. His anxiety's got up. His dreads got up. He said, I'm just going to run. And he runs down to the land of the Philistines. He runs down to enemy territory to try to join up with the enemy. When all along God promised him he was going to take care of him. All along God promised him things were going to be okay. But his dread, his anxiety, and his heart and his mind got all stirred up about what may happen or what could happen. Is that you here tonight? There's a lot of people, listen to me, we worry about 90% of what we worry about don't ever happen anyway. And David's all in dread and David's all in anxiety to the point where he flees down into enemy territory and he's going to get down there and get in a mess. God's going to bring him out of that. But it was all because all this anxiety upon him, all this dread upon him. You know, somebody else, and I preached about this one time in the book of Genesis, chapter 37, about the story of Joseph. The Bible says in verse 29, and Reuben returned into the pit. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit. They threw their brother in Joseph. They was jealous of their brother. They threw him in the pit. And he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? They'd come, and the Ishmaelites had come and took Joseph. And they took Joseph's coat, that coat of colors that his daddy had gave him, that set him apart. And look what they done. And killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. They dipped the coat in the blood of the goat. And they sent the coat of many colors. And they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Where'd he get that from? Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Joseph was fine. Joseph was fine. He was took by the Ishmaelites. But they presented him a coat. It had blood on it. Nobody said an evil beast ran him. He said an evil beast ran him. Look at this. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted and said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. And he did. Thus his father wept for him. He took a colt that was dipped in goat's blood and he jumped to a conclusion and he had all this dread and all this anxiety. This man lived this way for many years in this shape when all he needed to do was ask a few little questions. All he needed to do, he was very familiar. Jacob was very familiar with livestock. Jacob was very familiar with the wilderness. Jacob was very familiar. Why didn't he stop and investigate that? Why didn't he ask any questions about it? Why didn't he ask where they'd send him lies? Why didn't he go out and look for his son? He jumped to a conclusion. He said, I'm not going to be comforted. I'm not going to find any peace. And he went and he just sat down and said, I refuse to be comforted. All because of dread. All because of anxiety. And his heart and his mind got to racing. And he said, that's it. That's where I'm at. Well, I'll tell you what, how many people's like that today? All the devil does is got to present to them just no bloody coat. Their mind begins to race. Oh, it's over with. Oh, it's done. Don't investigate for the facts. Don't look for the truth in the matter. Don't talk to God about it. Just jump and refuse to be comforted. His sons and his daughters, they love their daddy. But he said, I'm going to take away from them. I'm going to sit and mourn for my son all the days of my life. Folks, don't be that way. God don't intend that for you and I. And God puts these things in the Bible for us to glean from and us to learn from. I've seen people, listen to me, go through horrible, horrible things in their life. Listen to me, God wants us to get through things with the help of Him. He gets great glory in that, folks. God gets great, great glory in one of His children getting through a major something in their life and being used for the glory of God. Some of y'all heard me tell that illustration about Corrie Ten Boom that was in the Nazi war camps, and how the Nazi guards would go in there and ravish the young teenage girls in there. I mean, just ravage them. And her and her little sister would lay there in a bunk and hold each other and cry every night. They would pick lice bugs off their body. And the soldier would come in, and they would come by. They would come to their bunk, and her and her little sister be in that bunk in Auschwitz in one of those Nazi war camps, hugging each other, and they would pass them by. And you know what? They began to thank God that they had lice bugs. Those two little girls were eat up with lice so bad that those Nazi soldiers never ravaged them. And they began to thank God that they had lice bugs. They began to thank God that that was upon them. And because that was upon them, it saved them from something else. Folks, you don't know what God's bigger plan is for our lives. We don't know why we have to go through some of the things that we have to go through. Don't let your heart and your mind race to the point where you jump to conclusions, and the devil will give you all kinds of scenarios. The devil will tell you it's over with. It's like I preached about the other night when the disciples came. They said, well, what are we going to do, Lord? Well, this is the chapter before that. He just fed 5,000, but they forgot about that. But we're that way, aren't we? And they got to the point right here. Jacob had got to the point right here. David had got to the point. They just began to jump conclusions. Well, this is the way this is going to work out. This is the way this is going to happen. Listen, folks, God don't want us to live that way. But how many tonight are sitting there wringing their hands, worried to death? They're a child of God, saved by God's grace. The Bible says He's never seen His righteous forsaken, nor His seed begging bread. Folks, God's not left us. God's not forgotten us. I stopped beside the road the other day and ate some chili I got at Wendy's when I was at work, and I had to look out my window, and it was pouring the rain, and somebody had dropped a little Cheeto ball out there, and there was a little bird that walked over there and picked that Cheeto bird up. And I thought, boy, the God feeds the birds of the air. He's going to take care of all us of this little coronavirus. Amen. And so here Jacob is. He's not going to be solaced in any way. He's going to go down. And even when he finds out, folks, later on in this, read this. When he finds out and he meets Joseph, he refuses then to be comforted. He's not going to let himself be comforted. He got so accustomed to living this way that he's not going to live any other way. I wonder how many listen tonight, you've got so accustomed to live in the way you live. You think that's just your lot in life. Your lot in life is to walk around full of anxiety. Your lot in life just walk around depressed. Your lot in life just walk around full of insecurity. That's not your lot in life, folks. God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to have the joy of the Lord in us. That's not your lot in life. You can do better with the help of the Lord. You can do better through the Word of God, through prayer. God will help us through that. Another thing that folks really struggle with is they get so despondent. They get so hopeless. You know, when somebody commits suicide, they get to a place, a lot of times they just feel so despondent. And they were talking the other day on the news, listen, folks committing suicide, getting to a place they just feel hopelessness. And the Bible said in Acts chapter 16 that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. Why? Because in that day in the law, if he lost one prisoner, it was his life. It was his life. And it was a bad death that he was going to face. So this prisoner woke out of his sleep and he looked in there and he seen the prison doors open. No doubt, think what he thought in his mind. Well, they're all gone. All them prisoners are gone. I'm just going to go ahead and off myself. He's got a family at home, folks. He's got kids at home. But he looks down there and all he sees is open doors, and he's going to kill himself, supposing the Bible said that the prisoners have been fled. He jumped to a conclusion. He supposed something. But Paul cried with a loud voice. People say, preacher, why do you preach so loud? Why do you hack and slobber and go on? Listen to me. The Bible said Paul cried with a loud voice. Peter got up on the day of Pentecost, lifted up his voice like a trumpet. Hey, Jesus lifted up his voice like a trumpet. John the Baptist lifted up his voice. And Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. That's what I'm telling you tonight. Do yourself no harm. Watch this. Then he called for a light. Thank God for the light of God's word. And sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. He took them back home. He washed the stripes off. He just beat them bad. Mercy. And listen to me. These jailers were mean, mean people, cruel people. He took these men that he beat, so mercy, and took them back to his house, cleaned them up. They witnessed to his family. His whole family got saved and right with God. This man got born again. His nature got changed. But he went from a state where he wasn't hopeless anymore. He went from a state where he wasn't despondent anymore. He went to a state where he found that there was hope, and that hope was in Jesus Christ. How many people are out here right now that I have no hope, I have no, God won't forgive me, God, I've done too much. Listen to me, God will forgive you, God will cleanse you up, God will save you. I don't care what you've done, I don't care how bad you've been, I don't care how much of a mess your life is in. Listen to me, God will save you, and I'm going to tell you what God will do. He'll save you, he'll clean you up, he'll put you in a church pew somewhere, and he'll get great glory out of you. And you know what churches used to be known for? Churches used to be known for the type of folks that got saved and was a part of that church. They'll say, ain't such and such going down there? Man, he used to be a rough sinner. He's down there singing. He's down there praising God. He's down there singing in the choir, teaching Sunday school. She's down there working. She's down there doing this with church. They're changed. They don't got that filthy mouth anymore. They're not chasing pills anymore. They're not drinking anymore. They got a different countenance about them. They look differently. God gets great, great glory, folks, out of that. But some folks get to a place where they feel like, and the devil feeds that lie. Oh, it's hopeless for you. There's no hope for you. He gets them in that hole of no hope. And you're just so despondent. And what it is, he got this man to jump to a conclusion about something. There ain't no hope for you, buddy. All them prisoners said, hey, we're in here. They's in there hearing the gospel message. Hey, listen, the devil will get you to jump to things in your life and get you to do things thinking there's no way out of it. There's no way out of it. All I got to do now is just take my own life. Folks, listen to me, there's hope in Jesus Christ. Bible says he's an anchor, steadfast, and sure to your soul. There's hope in Jesus Christ. You don't have to get to the place where you feel like you're so despondent, where you're so messed up, where, listen to me, there's no hope for you. There is hope for you tonight. And that hope is found in Jesus Christ. There's hope for this dying world. It's in Jesus Christ. There's hope for your home. It's in Jesus Christ. You know something else that gets people so depressed, so stressed out, so down? You know what it is? It's pain. Debilitating pain, sicknesses in their body. I don't know why this is, folks, but our flesh man that we carry around is so connected to our soul and our spirit. Job said in Job 10:1, and Job knew something about pain. Job knew something about suffering. Job said, my soul is weary of my life. I leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Job was in such a place, listen to me, where he was in such pain emotionally, such pain spiritually, such pain physically. He said, my soul is weary of my life. Listen to me, there are folks that struggle out there with sicknesses, with different diseases, different things upon their life. But Job found the help for this in the Lord. He found help even though the Lord wasn't talking to him. Think about that. He had issues with his wife. He had lost his children. He had lost his home. He had lost his finances. He had boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. His friends come out there and they was blaming him, said it was his fault that this has come upon him. Folks, listen to me. And then he would go pray to God and he couldn't find God. He said, I looked to my left. He wasn't there. I looked behind me. I can't see anything God's doing. He said, but yet I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to trust in him. And folks, that's what God wants us to do. Just take him at his word and trust him. Who is it tonight that may be listening? You struggle with depression, but it might be because all these burdens upon you. God needs to send somebody in your life. Maybe because you're going through some sort of a struggle, and that burden is upon you. Maybe it's because you're just disobedient. You're trying to straddle the fence. You're trying to play two sides. It's amazing. Folks say, "Well, I miss the church." A lot of folks, they never was faithful anyway. They never. This is what we're going through right now. It's no different for them. They weren't faithful anyway on Sunday. They weren't faithful anyway on Wednesday. Listen to me. Is that you? Are you living in disobedience? God, you can't find any peace until that gets took care of with the Lord. Dear friend out here that's lost tonight, that's not right with God, listen, you're not hopeless, but you can't live in disobedience and expect to have the peace that passeth all understanding, because it passeth all understanding, and it can only come from the Lord. That's it tonight. Are you going through some sort of issue in your life? You got some kind of bitterness that's dug down in there in your soul that's causing you to feel miserable? It's causing your countenance. You ever just meet someone to just snap your head off just all the time that way? It's sitting there. It's sitting there. There's folks that's like that in this life. Miserable. God don't want us to walk around like that, folks. But there's help in the Lord. Let me tell you a few things, and I'm going to close, that'll help you tonight. Let me tell you five good things that you can do that'll help you. And it's simple. It's easy. The first thing is find something to do. Find something to get busy. If you're stressed out, if you're full of anxiety, if you're full of, listen to me, you feel like you can't take one step in front of another, find something to do. A wise old preacher said one time, it's amazing what Jesus and a job can do for somebody. The best people in life, and you say, well, I can't work, I'm retired, I'm disabled. Find something to do. Find something to do. Get the Lord in your life and find something to do. Be about. Jesus said, occupy. That means get busy till I come. Not a busy body, but busy until I come. Find something to do. Get involved in something. Jesus sent them out two by two to work. Jesus said the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Listen to me, there's plenty of work to do for the Lord, and the Lord wants us to be about busy, doing His business and being about the Father, and be busy in something. Find something to do. You know something else? Real important, especially now that we're all locked up in our houses and our jobs and we're just here, is feed your mind the right things. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall, not might, shall be with you. Find something to do. Feed your mind the right kind of thing. Are you sitting there all day long flipping through gossip, watching stuff on TV that gets your mind going in a certain direction? What are you feeding your mind? What are you feeding your soul? Are you listening to music, gospel music? Are you listening to a bunch of something that gets you stirred up in another way? Listen to me. Are you listening to the preaching? There's so much preaching. I tell my preacher friends, let's flood this thing with preaching. Let's flood this thing with good Bible teaching. Let's flood this thing because people, listen to me, they need to feed their mind. You need to feed your mind the right things. Paul said, think on these things. Meditate upon these things. Get a scripture. Meditate upon that. Say, God, help me with this. God, this is what you say in your word. God loves it, folks, when we pray His word back to Him. You know what Nehemiah did? When they need to go back and rebuild the walls, he began to pray God's word back to Him. You know what Daniel did? Pray God's word back to Him. Jonah, pray God's word back to Him. Listen to me. God loves it when we find scripture and we pray it back to Him. Say, God, help me right here. Help my mind to quit racing. Help my mind to quit obsessing about things that's not pure, that's not a virtue, that's not of good rapport. Listen to me. If you're sitting there and you've got an accusation against a brother or some kind of an emotion going up against somebody, that's not of God. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. That's not of the Holy Spirit of God. That's of the devil. Think. What are you feeding your mind? Folks, it's got so much to do with our mood and our emotions. The Bible said that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Think about it, you'll do it. You know how sin's committed? Your head, your heart, your hands. You sin by your word, you sin by your thoughts, you sin by your words, and you sin by your deeds. You say, preacher, how can I get help with that? Well, God forgives us for what we are, not so much all we do. What we are, we're a sinner by nature. And God's got to cleanse us of that and forgive us of that and help us in this hour. You know something else? The Father will send somebody to help you. He'll send somebody to help you. He sent 70 there to help Moses that I read about, first of all, that depressing burden. He'll send somebody to help you. God will send help your way just right on time. Won't be late, won't be early. It'll just be right when you need it. God will send somebody to encourage you through a text, encourage you through a phone call. God will send somebody to help you to relieve that burden in your life. I promise that He will. Feed your mind right. Fellowship with other people. Don't isolate yourself. The one thing folks do when they go through mental problems, when they go through stress, when they go through anxiety, they quit coming to church. They quit fellowshipping with Christians. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some. It's amazing to me. The one thing they need more than any, they cut that out of their life. They don't cut Walmart out. They don't cut Food City out. They don't cut nothing else out. They don't cut ball games out. But if they go through issues in their life, church has got to go. I can't go. I got to get these problems worked out in my life before I go down to church, all them holy people. Let me give you a news break, folks. Folks in that church are going through the same mess that you're going through. We need to be there. Don't isolate yourself. Fellowship with believers. Fellowship with the right kind of people. Fellowship with those of the like mind. Those that are living, that's going to pray for you. That's going to encourage you. Barnabas was his nickname. Joseph was his name. They named him, nicknamed him Barnabas because he was an encourager. Be an encourager to somebody. Freely give of yourself. Do something for other people. Don't just sit. Isolate yourself. Woe is me. My life's so bad. They've done me so horrible. My family hates me. Oh, and you sit on the couch and then you start watching some messed up and you have no desire to look at the Bible, have no desire to listen to preaching, and it just gets heavier and it just gets worse and it just gets worse. Listen, you got to recognize that. Recognize that. What did God say to Cain? Cain, why are you wroth? Why's your countenance fallen? Listen to me, you got to recognize those things in your life. Listen, I'm going to close with this tonight. I may have went too long, and I'm sorry if I had, but I want to help you tonight. I got a burden to try to help you tonight with your mental state. You ever seen an eagle fly? It's a beautiful creature. Beautiful creature. And God talks a lot about eagles in the Bible. A little baby eagle got wounded one time in the sky, and it fell down amongst a bunch of chickens in a chicken coop. And the farmer went out there, and he seen it and said, oh, how cute that little eagle is. And he went out there, and he threw the chicken feed down. And you know what that eagle would do? It wouldn't even eat. It'd just walk around. Them chickens would peck and peck, peck. Well, the eagle had to peck around somewhere to get a little nutrients. But you know, the farmer ended up, he had put that eagle like in a little cage. And one day he went out there to throw the chickens some feed to eat. And that old eagle, he'd hop down there and it'd just hang its head low and pop down, bop around. It wouldn't take of that the chickens would eat. One day he went out there to feed them, and he heard this awful screaming, this awful squawking, and he looked up. There was two big eagles soaring in a circle around that chicken coop. And he was screaming down. That baby eagle would look up, and he would see those eagles flying. And it had in it, I've got to get up there. That's where I'm supposed to be. And that baby eagle would jump up, and he'd try to fly. He'd jump up and try to fly. And those eagles would fly around squawking, fly around screaming. Eventually, that baby eagle got up to where it got up on the fence post. It jumped off. It flapped its wings, and a boost of wind caught it, and it flew away with those other eagles. Listen to me, because it wasn't supposed to be down the chicken coop pecking around. It was an eagle, and it was meant to fly. Listen to me. God made us to be like the eagle that are supposed to fly, not peck around in the chicken coops of the world, not peck around with our heads down all the time. Folks, the lost world's watching us during this time. We got to rise up. We got to be that eagle that flies above the storm. God wants us to quit pecking around and lift our heads up. God loves you here tonight. Listen to me, whatever you're going through, what issue it is, maybe some burden upon you, whatever it is, take it to the Lord. Get busy. Get doing something for the Lord. Fellowship with folks. Reach out and connect with them. Get in a good local church. Get in a good group that'll support you. I love you tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us here, Lord. Lord, this word go out. Heavenly Father, maybe to touch somebody here tonight, maybe direct them and turn them in the right direction, Father. Heavenly Father, the brothers that's out here preaching, Lord, on this live stream, God, I pray, God, you bless them, God. I pray, God, you anoint their word with power, God. Thank you, God, for the many messages that I've heard, Lord, out there, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful singing. Thank you for the witnesses that are. Thank you for those that are out here that encourage us, Lord. God, we love them so much, God. We need them, Lord, in this day that we're living in. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, you touch those that's listening. I ask you, God, you help them with whatever issue that they may be struggling with in their life, God. Lift them up. We say all this and pray all this in your darling son, Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.